Welcome to Don't Panic Steve, the podcast that's all about panic attacks, with me, Claire Easton, best-selling author and award-winning mental health blogger, and my mate Chris.
Just a quick disclaimer, in no way is this taking the piss out of mental illness. It's something I take very seriously. I've made a career out of it, along with having social anxiety and panic attacks myself. But for me, humour has been as important as therapy, and I think it's a great thing. So, this is episode one, and allow me to introduce my co-host, Christopher Scott.
Hi.
Nearly said your name wrong then, because I never say your full name.
Yeah, just call me Chris, it's fine.
Chris Scott is in the house. Chris has known me for, what, since I was 12?
Yeah, since we started secondary school.
How old am I now? 32. So yeah, and each week, how it's going to work is I will tell him a story about a panic attack that's actually happened to me. None of this is made up. Some of them he's heard, some of them he hasn't, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Awesome. This is being recorded in my dining room, the dog's on the floor, and people could come in at any moment, so sorry. Anything else you want to say while I'm having a drink?
No, other than the elephant in the room here is that I am not qualified to be on a podcast about mental health. How many followers have you got?
A fair few.
Go on, how many?
You know.
I think you know the exact number, don't you?
I've got 20.4 on Instagram and 18.5 on Twitter.
So you've got that many followers. I have... No, I don't have followers, but I think I was thinking about what my role is in this podcast, and the conclusion I came to is, I don't know if you've heard of the concept in American, I think it's mainly in American TV, of like the...
Oh, Rigby.
That's quite off-putting.
Oh, yeah. In American TV, go on.
Yeah, so like, they'll have a character which is designed entirely to be the voice of the viewer.
Okay.
Like, for example, Hurley from Lost. So whenever something ridiculous happens, they're designed to make it almost more realistic by saying what the viewer's thinking.
So like Gogglebox?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to start now. I'm going to tell you this story you've definitely heard before, and if you've read my book, which you absolutely should have.
I definitely have.
Do you know what? I've just completely slipped up there. You know, I introduced the podcast, I didn't say who I was.
Do they need to know? Has it not?
Yeah.
Because is it? Oh yeah, I suppose if it's like a, yeah, no, people, you probably do need to introduce yourself.
My agent says this to me all the time, like, you don't sell yourself, because I don't know. It's just a weird thing to me. So like, you know, when people introduce themselves and go like, "Hi, I'm thing," and I'm starring this, and
yeah.
I don't know if I'm meeting you starring something, but you know what I mean. Like, no one gives a shit, but I should really do it. So my name is Claire Easton. I am an award-winning blogger of the blog We're All Mad Here. And I have a best-selling book of the same name. Did you know it actually sold out its entire first print run in the first 6 days?
I think you might have mentioned that before now.
Did you also know it was on this morning?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you got that on?
I think I've got it saved on my Sky Plus box.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
So that's who I am, and that's why I am a voice of authority on this.
The opposite to me, basically.
Yeah. But I think that kind of balances it out really well, and you're actually very good at reacting to strange things. That's why we're friends.
You are. Plenty of experience.
You kind of just roll with it, which is what I needed. Anyway, so yes, if you've read my book, you will have heard this story, so apologies, but bear with it, don't skip ahead, because you won't have heard the beginning and the end properly, just the good bit. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Think you can take it?
I think I've heard enough of your stories, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, I moved to London to work at that big publisher, which I won't say. I probably can, because it's not as if I'm slagging them off, but...
It's not the BBC, is it? I'm sure you can mention it.
Okay. I've got a real bone to pick with the BBC that I'll tell you later.
You sound like Alan Partridge.
Me and Alan. No, right, so I moved down there... I didn't know, I had an undiagnosed anxiety condition at this stage, and I was just doing that white knuckle thing, blah, blah, blah. And been working at this publisher for about a year, and my condition had been getting slowly worse and worse. But I'd never had a panic attack before, ever. And
no, I didn't realise that.
No, never. I mean, maybe some kind of minor on the Richter scale. Is that what they're called?
The Richter scale.
Richter. I said yeah. Richter. That's the shit version.
That's the anxiety attack scale.
The Richter scale. So this was my first. First sounds quite romantic, doesn't it? Like, this time you listen to the Spice Girls. When you lost your virginity. This is when you had
none of those things are romantic.
I know, they're not. God. Anyway, just in case my parents are listening, I won't go on with that. But yes, so I knew something was getting worse. At this point, if you can hear my husband in the shower, I'm sorry about that. He's not in the same room, but he's definitely in the shower.
It's just real life, isn't it? You know, we're not in a studio.
No, normal people. I've got me a microphone from Amazon.
Oh.
One of those top rated. You know, before you buy a product that you don't really know what you're doing, buying, and then you go think, oh, look at the stars.
Yeah, I go off, there's an Amazon, what is it? I can't remember what it's called now, like an editor's choice. And that, I go with that, and it's always spot on.
Is it really?
There's a tip for you. Have you ever written a review for Amazon?
Oh, loads. Because as an author, you know how important they are to other authors.
Yeah, true.
So I always take the time to do it, particularly if it's good. If it's bad, I will also leave. I've left a review on a book, and I won't say the name of it. It's a fiction one. And everyone was banging on about how great it was. And the ending was so bad, it put me in a mood for, like, days. Because I had invested in those characters. We were mates.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't believe she would do that. I can't believe it. It wasn't even dramatic. It was just boring. And I just wanted to let this author know that she should be ashamed of herself. One star.
as an avid Stephen King reader, you do get used to not expecting much from the endings.
Just to clarify, it wasn't Stephen King.
after a lot of time spent reading them, he just blows everything up usually at the end. Spoiler alert there, but
what were we talking about?
Mental health. I think that's what we're here for.
Right, the story. I knew something was going on because I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating properly. I felt like I was constantly on edge. You know, like when you think of something that's really, really wound up, like a jack-in-a-box that's about poised to go. Jack-in-a-box are terrifying. As a children's toy, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm glad they're not in fashion anymore.
Like, wind this up and something's going to jump in your face. That's awful, but that's how I felt. And in fact, I didn't feel like the jack-in-the-box. I felt like the person sat with their face in front of it, waiting for it to go off. And so I thought this was a really good time to apply for a job, you know, a promotion at that moment.
Yeah.
Good. Makes a lot of sense. But that does sound like me, doesn't it? Like, yeah, it's fine.
You like to jump in at the deep end, it's fair to say.
It's just easier, isn't it? Like, if it's all going to go wrong, I'd rather know in the first 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that. It's not good life advice.
Yeah.
So I applied for this promotion, it would have been a step up, and prepared for the interview like any normal... In fact, I'm going to ask this, how do you prepare for an interview?
To be honest, I'm not very good at preparing for interviews, in that I don't really prepare.
All right, okay, you just turn up and rock it.
Yeah, I always think that I'm better just... off the cuff. I mean, this podcast might prove otherwise. I don't know.
Particularly, she said podcast.
Did I say podcast? I wasn't even aware I'd said that. Yeah, this is why I've not got a new job in a while. So yeah, I do prepare a bit, but I think you can over prepare.
As I found out, this is how I prepared. I worked out every single question they could ask me. I even googled like some curveball questions, and I came up with 37 questions. I wrote them down, I wrote my answer to said questions down, and then rehearsed them like one would rehearse a play.
Right. So if you didn't have one of those 37 questions, then...
I just run out of the room, which is actually what I did. We'll come to that in a minute. But really, I mean, if I got a single word wrong when I was speaking it back, I would go back to the beginning.
Like it was a presentation rather than just a conversation.
It was scripted, it was robotic. I even had like the change of voice when I was saying something funny or something more serious. Who does that? Like, oh.
It is the opposite to how I prepare.
So by the time the interview came along, I was a bag of nerves. I think I had 45 minutes sleep that night. It's good, isn't it? It's all the red flags there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if it was casualty or something, you'd know that something was about to go wrong, wouldn't you?
Is casualty still going? Yeah, my mum used to love that.
Still going strong.
Really,
it's amazing, really.
Really shit storylines, but like good shit, you know. Yeah.
Shit in a good way.
Yeah. Do you watch it?
I did for a while.
Oh my god.
But I'm too cool now.
Are you still watching Coronation Street?
Too cool for Coronation Street.
I watched
classic Coronation
You've
Street.
You've actually told me that. Classic Corrie. What year are we talking?
I'm glad that I'm admitting this in a podcast. We're in 91 now.
Sorry. Why? Game of Thrones. What am I watching at the moment? BoJack. All this
amazing
stuff.
You're just saying all the cool things you watch.
Because I'm really fucking cool on paper. In person. you watching 1981. Corrie.
1991.
Is it any good?
It's better than the new one. Better than the modern day Coronation Street.
My own story. I'm trying to link this back now. Desperately.
Now we've covered classic Coronation Street.
It tends to be what happens in this podcast. It'll be a lot of me. Well, it's what happens all the time. I rarely ask you how you are, but I will ask you how you'd want to be executed if you had any, you know, you could choose whatever you wanted. We had this conversation last week.
Yeah, we did.
If I remember correctly, you want to have that poison that the Russian spy died
of. It sounds pretty bad, actually. When
it's shit, mate.
I said, Novichok. Yeah, but what I actually said was in a very big dose because it seems quite effective.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to do that, then just have lethal injection. Why that specific poison?
Yeah, no, I chose badly, I think. I was going to say that. I can't remember now.
So why remember
you
yours? You remember anything I said? All right, if I say French, does that bring it back?
French. Oh, yes, guillotine.
I don't mean I want a French person to kill me and do me in. I mean, like, I want a guillotine. The guillotine.
Has it got a capital G?
I should hope so. Sorry, I don't know.
Is it a brand name?
Yeah, it is. It's a very early...
You know, it's sellotape.
Madame Guillotine was the name. Tape. Sellotape. Well, yeah. Well, it's like Post-its, but no, let's just knock this on the head now. Like the guillotine. Hey.
Or the neck.
Why do I want the guillotine? I'll just tell you again really quickly. Because there's no room for error and... I just think it sounds... I mean, I'd want to wear the
wig. I think there is room for
error. You just pull that lever and off you go.
What about if the blade is blunt?
You said this last week. I check it beforehand. I'm not a rookie. I'm like, can I just have a feel of that before we... You're talking to the woman who, when I had my laser eye surgery done, when they put the anaesthetic in me to numb the pain, I said, can I just poke myself in the eye because I don't trust you? I'm the doctor. And they had to restrain me from poking myself in the eye. I'm like, I just want to feel that my eye's numb. So I would absolutely test the blade.
It sounds like something you would do.
I don't, you know, if you're going to cut my head off, I want to make sure that...
Yeah, you want it to be done properly, don't you?
If you look in the crowd, and be you on the floor dead. Like, what's happened to him? Like...
You know, just in a coma, not even dead.
I've got a speech prepared. I've got a wig, and I want to drink a pint of gin. That's how I'm going to do it.
It's a good way to go.
Oh, I don't even know what we're doing anymore. 5 minutes sleep, that's where I was. Yes, I'd had 45 minutes sleep. Got up again to do a bit more prep. I don't know how I got to work. I travelled into work with Dan, who's then boyfriend, now husband. I remember being on the tube and feeling like, you know, when you've had too much drink and everything's spinning a bit weird. Yeah. Again, massive red flag. And I was like, it's fine. It's completely fine. Went to work, sat at my desk, it was time for the interview. I remember getting up and this big, like, grey mist was forming in front of my eyes. You know when someone takes a picture and you can't see?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sure it's nothing, as you would.
I've had that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's just the sort of thing you get, you know, when you stand up too quickly. But it's like...
That is true.
But you get dizzy and your vision starts to go.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I'm not putting it on a par with your experience. But
no, that is true, because I've had it myself since then. This was more like I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
Like, I knew I was moving. I was like, well, I couldn't see anything. And I remember putting my hands out in front of me like a lunatic, just to make sure that, you know, I didn't bump into anything.
Yeah.
When we go into the room, open it up, and it's this big boardroom kind of thing, a big glass room, sitting down, and I just knew. There's no other way to describe it, really. Like, if you've had a panic attack, you'll know what I mean when I say you just know. It's like, oh, shit. This is really bad.
So even though you'd not had one before, you knew that something was different.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you trip and fall down the stairs, or it's like a kind of, oh, shit moment. Yeah. Yeah. The eloquent way of putting it, oh, shit. And I felt funny. I remember feeling like I can't catch my breath. You know, you've been running and you think, I'll just take one more big breath and this will be the one. But yeah. It wasn't happening. I was like,
right.
Okay. And I felt like I had a tire on me and someone was putting more and more air in it.
Yeah.
And my heart was going and I was like, all right, it's okay. We just need a minute. You can pull this together. It's okay. And then I swear to God, I don't know if anyone else has had this. Do tweet us. No.
But not me, because I've got no followers.
No. Tweet Chris, that'd be hilarious. Make his day.
First tweet since 2011.
I felt this warm feeling. It came from, I don't know where it came from, but this warm sensation. I remember it trickling down my arms, trickling down my back to my front, and I was like, whoa, what's that? And when it hit my heart, everything exploded. I now know that this was adrenaline. Like a massive surge of adrenaline that they put into people when your heart's failing, for Christ's sake. So mine exploded. That's one way to describe it. And these people were looking at me who were going to interview me. I remember there was two of them, really nice. And all this is going on in my head and I've got the appearance of this is fine.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine. But when that hit, my tongue swelled up. It didn't actually, but it felt like it did. Mm. I couldn't, my mouth was like sandpaper. I couldn't lift my arms. It felt like there was weights in them. I was sweating. And I just thought like, I'm going to die. I'm actually going to die. Either that or I'm going crazy. I couldn't decide which one it was. I was just like, oh, fuck. It was, it's really weird because I remember it in hazy moments. I remember not giving a shit anymore. About the interview, about my job, about being in London, nothing.
Yeah, at that moment, there was more pressing concerns, like the fact your tongue was swelling up.
Yeah, but I just didn't care. I was like, I'll lose, I just need to get out of this room. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I can, if someone said, you've got to pay us 10 grand and we'll let you go, I would have paid it to them.
Yeah.
I didn't even have it, but you know, I'd figure that out.
Fight or flight.
That's the one. So you do know.
But, yeah, I picked up a few things over the years.
The funny thing, the part that makes people laugh is, even though this was going on, I remember thinking, because I have social anxiety, undiagnosed at this point, meaning I hate drawing attention to myself.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. It's really, really... Do you remember, oh my God, that reminds me. Do you remember when we lived together and I was going to be sick and I couldn't let you see me be sick?
Yeah. Yeah,
I was really ill.
Yeah, I was trying to help you out and you essentially just... told me to piss off and slam the door in my face. Yeah. I remember that well, yeah.
I remember you putting a bin in front of me and I was like going mad. I'm like, I'm not being sick. Yeah, it's a bit like that, but obviously I could be very aggressive with you. I couldn't do that with...
Yeah, with...
Yeah, HR.
Two people you were trying to impress.
Like, fuck off, Janine! And then run out. Like
you're hired.
That girl's got spirit. No, so... I was like, I need to get out of this room. Rather than running and be like, I don't care. I was very much just stood up and thought the best way to do this, it wasn't a conscious decision. I just stood up and said in a very, very Jane Austen style voice, I have the neurovirus and I must leave at once.
Is that how you said it?
Like that. Literally like that. And I've never said...
I can't work out if you're being serious or not.
Seriously, that's what I said. I have the neurovirus... and I must leave at once.
Right. Well, where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, you know, because up until that point I had quite a broad Bolton accent, so...
Yeah. It's like... It was a sudden change.
Oh, God. I could just... Oh, when I think about coming in and saying, ah, yeah, how are you? Yeah, it was nice. I have the neurovirus.
I must leave at once.
And I've never said at once in my life or since.
I might try that one next time I'm in a situation that I don't want to be in.
I do have a habit of going posh though when I'm in confrontational situations. Mm. Like when I had an argument with that bloke at another job and I said, "Sir, you sir are a bully." I've said that as well. I just think it gives me a bit more gravitas.
Yeah. No, I think that's...
using a posh voice.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing it myself.
Anyway, so that's what I did. I'll never forget the look on their faces. It was like really confused, as you would be.
Yeah.
I legged it out of the room, and what was worse is that it was glass, and it was in the middle of an office. It wasn't like a kind of, you know, at the side. It was right in the middle of an open plan, a glass room. I ran out, and I had to run all the way around it to the back to get out.
Oh, I was imagining the scene from Alan Partridge where he closes he's in the caravan and he closes the blinds across the tax inspectors. That's what I was imagining happening.
When he's like going, "Oh God, oh God." Yeah. Basically like that. And I ran out of the building. I ran all the way down the Strand. And you know how, you've been to London, you know how long the Strand is?
I don't.
You don't.
I mean, it sounds pretty long. The name, the Strand, sounds...
It's the red bit on the Monopoly board.
Yeah. I don't think it's to scale, but...
No, it's not quite to scale, but I legged it all the way down there, and I just thought, if I keep running, something will happen. I'll either explode or it'll be all right.
You're probably a bit slightly right from what you've told me in the past, that adrenaline can be burnt off, can't it?
It can. So
I do pick up things.
You do listen.
So, yeah, you know, if the Strand was a bit longer, you might have been all right by the time you got to the end of it.
Isn't it weird? I know if it was us, I would literally say, "I'm freaking out, I just need to run around the garden." Like, okay. Whatever, yeah.
Off you go.
I'll just sit here with my brain. Watch her go, bloody hell. No, I mean, I didn't know that at the time, that's what had burnt it off. I thought it just stopped. I remember jumping in a black cab.
Oh, so it did work then?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I was still really on high alert, but it stopped, and I jumped in this black cab and was like, "Take me home," because in the good sense, I did manage to grab my bag, even though I thought I was going to die, because you always do. It's like at school. Yeah. When the teacher used to say, "Don't grab your coat when the fire alarm goes off." Like, of course
it's like an instinct, isn't it? Like the first thing you do.
It's my coat. Also, it's cold outside. It takes ages for them to organise the lines.
And plus, what is really, like, an extra half a second to put your coat up gonna do, really?
Mine was Adidas as well. I'm not leaving that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway.
I couldn't imagine you wearing Adidas now.
Oh, do you know, in secondary school, first couple of years, when it was all about sports clothes, and you were allowed to have those night bags, you know, the tick one, but it was like a drawstring one.
Yeah.
Like everybody had to have one of them.
I didn't have one.
Did you not?
No. Mm. When everyone else was wearing Nike and Adidas, I had Lecoq Sportif. Which I've never seen before or since, so I don't know if...
They do not. Went home. Sorry, I remember jumping this black cab and saying to the cabbie, "I can't decide if I want to go to hospital or my house." And he was like, "Right, we'll let
you
know."
Do you have a medical emergency?
I was like, "I don't know." And because he was so normal, he kind of snapped me out of whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Right, well, I'll just take you home." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And we're going home, ordering a Domino's pizza stuffed crust margarita and eating the entire thing to myself in silence. Turns out a panic attack burns a lot of calories.
Yeah. How big was the pizza?
For a stuffed crust, it's got to be a large.
A large?
I ate the whole thing.
Well, how many inches are we talking there?
It's a big pizza. Inside, I mean, it took me a while, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
Anyway, and so it's gone, and then by the time Dan got home in the evening, that's when my actual nervous breakdown started, because it happened again, which, as you will know, if you've had a panic attack, you will have another one, I'm afraid. Yeah. Because what I like to try and communicate is, the first panic attack, you can actually liken it to trauma, because it's a traumatic event. Your brain didn't know, even though I was like, "Oh my God, there's nothing wrong," my brain thought I was about to die.
Yeah.
So it's trauma. So if it ever gets an inkling again that something like that is wrong, it will trigger the same response.
A bit like post-traumatic stress.
Basically, yeah. I will tell you about that evening, because not a lot of people know this. I've talked about the nervous breakdown bit, but I bet they haven't heard about Andy, the NHS call handler. You had made the mistake of answering that phone call.
I'm sure he's had plenty of experience of...
Oh, no.
Really? That bad?
Well, he wouldn't send an ambulance. So I was... I mean, he was shit anyway. And I'm very pro-NHS. It's close to my heart. But NHS Call Direct, whatever it's called, it's shit.
Oh, is it 111?
No. It's the one... Is it NHS? Is it Directory? Well, you ring and say, I think I'm having a heart attack. That's not the only thing you can say, but you know what I mean.
Did you ring the service with those two runners, that telephone directory? 118, aren't they?
Got your number.
No wonder they weren't very helpful.
No, it was, you ring up and you say, they ask you all these shit questions, which I know they have to ask, like, what's your name, where do you live, what's your date of birth, what's your maiden name, I don't know, shit that you're like, I don't know, I'm
shoe
dying.
Shoe size.
Help me. Shoe size, glad you asked. 5.7. No, they're obviously picking stuff off a sheet. It's not a doctor, it's just some bloke who's reading
a script.
And I was screaming at him, like, I think I'm dying. I don't know what's wrong. I think I'm having a stroke. I'm really scared. And he just kept saying, right, and what do you normally do in this situation? And I was like, I was quite abusive to him. I was like, you don't understand, Andy. I'm going to die and it's going to be your fault. And he said, I need you to send an ambulance. And he's like, I can't do that. I'm like, I've got a window, I'm going to hang out of this fucking window, and I'm going to jump on the phone to you, and you will hear me hit the floor.
Poor Andy.
He didn't go. I think Dan wrestled the phone off me by this point.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it. I'm going to get something. You know, I mean, when you're that frightened, and nobody's going to help you. And back then, I mean, I say back then, it was only 2012, but there was nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening to me. No one will tell me what it is. All I know is something is very, very wrong. And I was crying hysterically. I was like rocking. I was running around the flat like a crazy person. You know, the kind of all the stereotypical images you see. And it was a small flat.
Yeah.
Very small. So there's limited running room. Now I would have been like, I know what this is. You need to go for a walk. You need to do this. You need to do that. Mm. And it's, but oh, poor Dan, no idea. Just watching me in complete horror.
Yeah, wondering what he could do to try and help you.
Him and Andy. I remember we wouldn't let him go. He kept trying to end the call. We were like, no, Andy, don't leave us.
I wish Andy was here now.
Oh, bless him. But eventually, I remember we didn't know what to do. It had gone past midnight, so, and all we had in to drink was a bottle of champagne from Christmas. And it was warm, not chilled, and I necked it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's never stopped you before, anyway.
It's never stopped me, no. That's not true. Champagne, I will have chilled. and I necked it with a Nitol, because I thought, that's a sedative of some... I had some Nitol. Don't ever do that. But that's how desperate I was. And I think, to be serious, that's really sad.
Yeah.
You know, no one would help me. I kept saying, I need to go to hospital. It's like, if you go to hospital, they'll send you away. I know that's not true. But that was it.
Yeah, nowhere to turn.
That's the only thing I could think to kind of shut it up. And it did work, bloody hell. But, and that was my first panic attack.
Right. Well.
That is how you'd react. Right, well, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Look how long. Yeah. Any thoughts?
I'm just glad that, you know, I'm lucky enough to have never... had to experience something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had things where, like I say, that, you know, maybe some of the beginning symptoms, but certainly nothing to the extent that you've had.
Hopefully this podcast will help a few people to know that they are absolutely shit. I've got so much empathy for somebody who experiences panic attacks, because unless you've had one yourself, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just shit. They're really shit.
That should be the way we end the podcast.
Maybe it should be.
Just.
We're done.
Finished. Done.
In fact, that's what I'll do. I'll say, are we done?
We're done.
Cool. I'll turn it off now.
What a peculiar place to have a party.